The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, episode 370. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? And right back at Tony, because it was his birthday!
Hey, Guadalupe!
Happy birthday.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
How you doing?
And Brian Monjoma.
Matchmaking a game that's so bad that you believe that Halo Infinite had a reason to its downfall.
Damn! Thank you for reminding me. I got to add that to the show notes, by the way. Oh, by the way, I'm not 100% sure if this is actually episode 372. It might be 373. So I need to double check that. You know, because I was like, hold on a second. Did I update the number? You know? Oh, no, we're good. We're good.
372.
We are good to go. We are good to go, people. I was like, hold on. Did we miss one? You know, we like time jumped and shit. Thank you, NHL, for the birthday wishes. By the way, so this is what happened yesterday, right? Yesterday is my birthday. So I tweeted about it in the morning. I'm like, hey, another year around the sun, right? But in the morning, I had to go to this event, right? I go to the event. I'm focused on what I got to do there, right? I was looking at a bunch of laptops. Focus. I'm getting a bunch of messages. My dumb ass is like, why am I getting so many messages today? obvious reasons, you know.
Happy birthday. People bugging me, man.
Yeah, I was like, man, what's with all these messages? Like, I went for my sister. She's like, I love you. I'm like, why is she telling me that? Like, oh yeah, that's right.
You remembered your birthday and then you instantly forgot it after you tweeted.
Yeah, because I got into the zone. You know,
Tony's working and he's getting all these messages. He's like, what the fuck did Microsoft buy now?
You know what I'm saying, man? This shit is crazy, you know? But yeah, I was working that day. People are like, why are you working, man? Like, listen,
work all
dude.
The time, man.
Yeah, you got to work, got to make that money, you know?
The world doesn't stop just because it's your birthday, man.
Yeah. What, the funny thing is, one of the other guys in the office, his birthday was also yesterday. He took the day off, you know? But I'm like, yo, I got shit to do, man. You know, and as I said on Twitter, I'm like, listen, man, I'm celebrating my 42nd birthday, like actually being a full time staffer. That's a good fucking birthday, you know?
Yep.
That's a good birthday. By the way, this is how crazy I'm because I hate odd numbers. Can't stand them, right? I did not like being 41. I'm happy being 42 right now. That's a year older, but I'm happy because it's an even number, you know? I don't like odd numbers. They bug the shit out of me, you know? You can't divide them.
I'm number six.
Yeah. Nine is cool because you can at least divide it into, three, you know? But in 21, I guess I'm okay with. But like three, no, three is good too. Five, you know which one I don't like? Seven. That's the one that bugs me the most.
Seven deadly sins.
Yeah. Because at least with five, you could at least multiply, like add it up like 5, 10, 15, 20. Like, yeah, I get that, you know. But seven, what do you do with seven? You know? I don't know, man.
It's because, it's because 7, 8, 9. That's why.
7, 8, 9. Because 7, yeah. eight, 9, you know? Anyway, we got a show. And lead topics might be a little controversial.
Who is this controversy and what is he talking about?
By the way, this is funny because I was talking to my colleague Marshall about this today. I was like, wait, this happened on Monday. Why does that feel like 2 weeks ago? We got to talk about Horizon getting 89, man, on Metacritic. 89, that's objectively a great score.
That's right? Good.
Not according to the PlayStation fanboys.
Homies can't accept an 80?
Nope, 89. They're mad. They're mad that they didn't get a 90.
Oh my gosh.
Come on, guys.
You know, so that was the big controversy of that day. You know, dude, this is how crazy it was. I get up, right, and I open up Twitter. I am not kidding. Before 9 a.m., these dudes already had Twitter spaces. They're already doing them. I'm like, don't you motherfuckers work?
Nope, we got to be angry.
It's not.
Being angry is a full-time job.
I am not kidding. Like 845 Twitter spaces. I'm like, what? Over this? And I was like, what? Actually, no, at that point, I didn't know what it was about. Like, what was going on here? You know?
What's this going on?
Yeah. But the other interesting thing about it, right? And this is something I was telling Manny, I didn't want to talk about on Twitter, but I will talk about on Throwdown, you know? The site in question, because there's a site, Stevator, I believe it is. Never heard of them before, right? People were mad at them because they are the ones that brought the aggregate down on Metacritic, right? People did some research, and it turns out that they've consistently have given every PlayStation game released in the last 5 years a horrible score, below 5, right? That kind of raises some suspicion. And every Xbox game has been at 10, effectively, right? Like, And then it turns out that Sony stopped giving them review codes, right? The reason they were able to review this game is because one of their freelancers got a code, and he wrote it for them, right? So a thing I wanted to, you know, bring up here, it's like I was perfectly willing to have a conversation about that specific site being shady. But the problem is, because of that site, every single journalist, gaming journalist, got thrown under the bus, myself included, you know? So I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to have that conversation with you guys. You know, fuck that. You're going to throw me under the bus with these other guys when literally 99% of gaming journals try to their very best to give you the best reviews possible under the fucking restraints we got to deal with. And no, but we're all pieces of shit. We're all like paid off shills or all corrupted or all compromised. Nah, then you've lost any chance of me coming to the table to talk to you about this specific site legitimately being shady. Forget about it, because now apparently I'm as bad as them, you know?
It's funny how you know, there's only really been one obvious example of shillery, and it's over 10 years old, right? But you'll find multiple examples of shillery within the independent journalist space all over the place.
Yeah, and I got to do it with influencers.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're telling me that that some of those guys aren't guilty of this? Literally, was a whole channel that was guilty of it, and they were considered a reputable source. So I was like, okay, so what? Again, like, the one thing you have to say is that the only way that you can ever be free of any of this is if you just buy your game. If somehow the company just buys the games as they come out.
Yeah, but that doesn't prevent people from being, you know, having biases, you know? Yeah. Like, we've seen instances of, like, people hate buying a game just to shit on it for their YouTube channel, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is obviously a website, different story. But again, it goes back to what I've always said. Why the hell are people giving so much credence to review scores? Again, I myself give review scores, and I'm the first guy to tell you, don't bother with them. They're stupid. Read the actual article, you know? It makes no fucking sense, you know? It's just frustrating. So that nonsense got so bad where I was like, you know what? Like, halfway through the day, you know, I was like, I think I'm good with Twitter. I think no more Twitter for me today. You know, it just made me so disappointed in the gaming community, you know? Like, and it seems like, and I'm pretty sure Twitter is coloring my perception of things, but it just seems like things are just getting worse and worse all the time, particularly with the PlayStation fans becoming extremely defensive about anything. As a matter of fact, PlayStation fans this generation remind me of Xbox fans from last generation, just getting so worked up over any perceived slight on their favorite brand. It is sickening, you know? I thought, again, I tweeted about this, like, you would think people would be having more fun in a hobby that's supposed to be fun, gaming, right? But no, all you see is hate. All you see is vitriol. All you see is nonsense, you know, and it's frustrating. I remember Dumeki, I don't know if he's in the chat right now. I don't think he is, but he brought this up. He's like, he asked us a couple months ago, does this discourse kind of like dampen your enthusiasm for gaming? I understand why he asked that now, you know? I get it. It's fucking stupid, you know? Oh, there's Brett.
If people crying over a review score is damning your review on game, then I think that person's part of the problem too. Because that means that the perception of the crazies is affecting them, when in reality it shouldn't.
No, you're right about that. But if that's all you see all the time, I understand that, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, it's... It,
Oh no, we're talking about the people going going ape shit over Horizon Zero Dawn getting 89 as opposed to a 90 on Metacritic.
They're over upset over 1 point.
Yeah, they're literally upset over 1 point. And I was just saying, Brett, you missed it. I went off on a rant right before you came in here, But I was just saying how things like this make me extremely disappointed in the gaming community, especially the PlayStation community this generation. The PlayStation community this generation, Brett, like I said, has become the Xbox of last generation. Just overly sensitive over any perceived slight to their favorite brand,
Which is so weird, because it's like they're at this point in time, the PlayStation is doing the best, right?
Marginally best, because the gap is not as big this time around.
Yeah, the gap is not as big, but I mean, the thing is, like, you guys got nothing to worry about. Why are you worried about the damn score of the game? You know, you are gonna like it. You know, it's gonna sell enough to it's good enough to where it's like it'll definitely get a sequel to it. As far as sales and all that. So it's like, what's to worry about? I think of it like being at school. Like, if you got an 80, you're like, all right, I'm good. I'm better than average. We did good. And it's 89. It's almost 90. It's good. But yeah. It's like everybody's like Tiger Mom, that you only have to get like, you can only get 100s.
It's a thing that the brain does, and I'll be honest, I use this when I'm like tattoo pricing and whatnot, because like there's a huge difference apparently between a $200 tattoo and a $180 tattoo. Apparently it is all the difference in the fucking world a lot of times. And that's, it's the same thing. Oh, this is $4.99. It's not $5. It's $4.99. The thing I want to point out first and foremost here is like we're falling prey to the very weird broken brain that is being human, in which you're talking about one. You're talking about a score of one, but it just sounds big because it's 89. You want it to be 90. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's one goddamn point. So I think people are just upset because they're thinking of it in terms of like, well, that's a B, not an A.
Yeah, so, some people actually said that. They're like, oh, that's a B. I'm like, yeah, that's a grade. This isn't a fucking game score. That's totally different, But yeah. I get that. They're thinking of it in those terms.
Well, they're also thinking of it in terms of in the 80s instead of in the 90s. Like, yeah, it's normal for human brains to break up things like that. But most of the time we have that, it happens initially and then we override it. We go $4.99. That's $5. We kind of notice it happening. And for some reason here, people seem unaware that, that's probably the primary factor driving their anger, especially when you're saying, oh, it deserves a score of 90, not 89. Like, that's fucking semantics, man. Like, if you're trying to argue that it scores, deserves a score of 95, I imagine some people are going to argue with you. I don't have room to talk. Everybody knows this isn't necessarily my kind of game. Honestly, I think it's pretty cool that they're being critical of, a highly anticipated AAA exclusive like this. It shows that, not all the scores end up being completely broken, because it's more the same.
I will say this though, Brett, and here's the issue, and you missed this part. I'll reiterate it. Every site, including me that I reviewed it, gave it a 90. Right, only one site gave it a 3 out of 10, and that's what drove it down.
Average that's driving it down.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, and basically this site is called Sevator. I've never heard of them. Right, apparently people do some digging. They have a consistent history of scoring PlayStation games low and Xbox games high, right? And I would be perfectly willing to have a conversation about that particular site's shady practices. But the problem is, every single gaming journalist got cast as, in the bad light. So I'm like, okay, so since I'm the fucking asshole, I can't even have a conversation with you, because you think I'm just like these fucking idiots,
That is really interesting. And I think that's, that is a conversation worth having. Yeah. Absolutely. But again, like it's a median score, man. Like you can still cover the box with 9 out of 10.
Literally, every site gave it a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 in some cases, except one site.
You still got your quotes from all the quotable people. Yeah. Anybody that looks, I guess, if on casual glance, but I don't know how many people are casually glancing at the median and like being like, oh, it's 89. But I hear a lot of people gave it a 90. It's semantics, unless you're talking about the discussion Tony was talking about, which that is itself an interesting discussion. But, and maybe I'm missing the point here, does everybody go off the average at a glance like that? Like, if you're going to do any looking into a video game, like looking at reviews, you're just going to see all the 9s out of 10s and all the 90s. So, yeah. Like...
Well, the thing is, again, that 89 comes from Metacritic, so people just go, oh, that's the Metacritic score, and that's...
So they're just going to... Like, that's the depth of your read. Like,
yes.
That's why even bother doing research if that's the depth research. Of your research.
They don't research. It's just 89. That's it. That's all they go for. You know, I will say this, though. Just being real right now. Being real, some of the people that are really angry about this, they're mad that they can't use a 90 to throw at the competition. Oh, our game got a 90. What do you motherfuckers got? You know that's a factor in this shit. The ponies want to throw this at the Xbox guys, you know? That's factor.
As far as I'm concerned, they still can, I guess, if you want to be like that.
Oh, Brett, I got a better one for you. Okay, these guys are mad. At the time of this recording, it is the highest rated game of the year, and they're unhappy. It's insane.
It's become so fucking pedantic, man. That's my question. I want to ask, what the fuck happened, man? Like back Thank in the you. Like, I know I'm gonna sound old here, but back in the Genesis Nintendo days, like back in my day, you know, through several generations. Everybody was cool, like it was kind of like a casual, like, haha, you know, it was like rival football team. You didn't hate the other people, goddammit. You know, you playfully made fun of each other, like, but it wasn't this shit. When did it become fucking this?
Social media.
It feels like the last two generations.
Social media fucked it all up. No, because you're right about that. Just back in our day, we used to talk shit about the console we didn't have. But then what we do at the end of the day, we go to our friend's house and play on that console. Right?
Exactly. Right?
Repeat what you just said.
I said back in the day, right, you would talk shit about a console, but then at the end of the day, you would go to your friend's house and play on that console.
Exactly. You go to your friend's house.
Yeah. You know, but these guys, the way they act, it's like if you even put the rival console within their vicinity, their skin would start melting, you know? Like it's like poison to them.
It's all part of a persona. When you're online, you have a persona. That's not most of the people online are not the real people that you're seeing in the Twitter feeds and YouTube. They're
putting on a persona. I could tell you guys some stories about that, you know. No, but let's just fight to say what Carlos just said is 100% right. I've had conversations with guys all like, yeah, I just have fun on Twitter. I'm like, you're being fake, bruh. You're being fucking fake, you know.
It's like there's people who make a Twitter living off of being a persona. It's like, oh, I'm loyal to my console, and I'm gonna put a Scorpio tag on my thing or a Sony tag on my thing, and you know, and that's what I did.
Oh, I'm gonna have the Crash Bandicoot thing. Remember that shit when that became a thing with the Xbox? Like they put a avatar of them hanging out with Crash Bandicoot just to piss off the Sony guys, you know?
And that's what happens in social media. You get backlash over stuff you love. And you get even more defensive about it. And they overcompensate about the insecurities that other people bring to them.
You know.
And that's how, you know, they go through life.
There's clickbaity articles that y'all are falling for. Not like you people listening, but like these metaphorical people. Yeah. They'll be like, you know, like if they fall for the trolling so fucking hard. Like I could easily write an article about, you know, why Horizon 2 is overhyped. And that thing would get clicked on so many goddamn times. So many people would be angry at it.
And no one would actually read it. The biggest test would be, you'd be like, why Horizon is overhyped? And then what you do is you write a positive article.
A loving review.
Yeah. A loving review. And then it'll be like, why is this? What is this with this title? It's like, well, you didn't read it, did you?
Yeah.
Tony could write, I kind of want Tony to do that. Like, write an article about how much you love Horizon Zero Dawn and then title it Why Horizon is Overhyped, and then just watch Twitter tear you apart.
The funny thing is people have actually, like, writers have actually done that experiment. Well, they'll put, like, a salacious headline, and then later first paragraph, like, oh, by the way, I'm fucking with you. But no one reads that. They just read the headline and go off. Like, they go, I was just fucking with you, you know? Oh, man. Adam, what is going on, brother?
Yo, yo.
Just a lot of preparing, getting ready, man.
For the move. By the way, and we also got to talk about the other controversy with Horizon. Apparently, some guys don't know that women have face fuzz. Okay, because
some women.
All humans do. You know, what are humans? We're primates. Primates are covered in fuzz of some kind, right? So anyway, go ahead, Brett.
Y'all actually like you've never met an Italian person.
Because it was a Digital Foundry came out and they were showing off, you know, the graphics and everything of Horizon Zero Dawn, and they did a close up. Right, and you see some fuzz on Aloy's face, you know, like fuzz that everybody has.
Yeah,
right?
How much fuzz are we? Are we talking like she has a mustache fuzz?
No.
When you take a photo of a person when they have a rim light from, you know, a light coming from the back of them, what gives you that rim light is not your skin; it's the light amount of fur, like hair that you have around, you know, all around your body, on your face, on your arms. And the only reason why you don't see it is because it's pigmentless.
Go ahead.
It's funny, I run into this in my job actually, because, you know, as a tattoo artist, you shave an area and clean it and prep it before you, no matter where it is, no matter if you can see hair or not. And every time I shave somebody with peach fuzz, because that shit'll get stuck between my tattoo needles. Every time you shave the area down, you end up with, like, you know, a little pile of peach fuzz that condenses until you see it visibly, and people get so embarrassed. They're like, "Oh my god, I didn't realize my arm had so much hair." I'm like, "It's peach fuzz. It doesn't count."
Yeah. So that's what it is. Basically, Aloy has peach fuzz, and some guys were like, "Oh, look at that! They're trying to give her a beard." I'm like, "You've never been with a woman. You just told on yourself, bro." You just told on yourself, you know?
Obviously, you have not been that close to a woman to realize that they have every woman, every human being has that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a mammal thing.
Yeah, it's a mammal thing, exactly.
I just want to mention something real quick, and correct me if I'm wrong. This was one person that tweeted or Instagrammed or TikTok something out, and this shit blew up, and everyone is talking about it.
Yep.
It's a slow week, bro.
Yeah. By the way, some of us have peach fuzz, some of us don't. Look at my hairy ass Dominican arms, bro.
There's wrestler Bobby Lashley. He has that, alopecia, that the can't have any hair in your body. I think that's that situation. And he has to have a bandana, a headband when he wrestles because he has no eyebrows.
Okay, yeah, so the sweat,
just goes right into his eyes, so it's burning.
That's wild.
It's a trade-off
for all
sometimes.
We know. For all we know, it could be like some 11-year-old online just tweeted this shit out. It's like, doesn't know any better. And we're all like, motherfucking virgin ass motherfucker.
Right?
It's hilarious. Guys, the trade-off, what happened?
Oh, you get some people that are more hairy, some people that are less hairy. Like, even amongst women, like, you know, just shy of a mustache, like, anywhere in that range, like, it's cool. Like, that's all normal stuff. Like, some people have lots of it. Like, I can't grow shoulder hair. Like, you know, a lot of very hairy people can, but I can't grow a fucking beard either. I got the Irish patchy beard that has, like, the holes in it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, Brett, give it a couple of years. He'll grow some shoulder hair. I never had that shit until I started getting older. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
Yeah,
No, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's you kind of land on the, like, you're like, yeah, all right. I don't have a lot of body hair. Like, ah, shit, that means I can't grow a beard. And then, like, you see people like, oh, man, like, they're even their toes are furry, but they can grow this giant, magnificent beard.
I heard the same thing with your hair. So you have that to look forward to, Brett.
Oh no, that's started. I've already gone through second puberty, if that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
The old puberty. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, there you go, to make it. He goes, anyway, back to playing my trash game with the bearded woman.
it's entirely possible that in the design they took it a little far to, like, you know, show, like, some, like, they do that sometimes, like, man, I can see that person's pores from, like, 9 feet away. I get it, they look human, but, like, oof, they look rough.
Yeah. No, that's not the case. Like, again, you have to kind of, they did it in photo mode where you can manipulate the lighting. Then they're like, oh, look at that. She has the rim light. And then obviously the peach fuzz. But you don't see that in normal game, obviously. You know?
Yeah, it's something, it's an additional detail that gets put onto the character when you're in the beauty mode, which is the cinematic.
Yeah.
When you go into photo mode, when they switch out to the higher res model of the character. Yeah.
Yo, Carlos, speaking about this thing blowing up, somebody took, Astro Robot or whatever the hell the thing that he put feet first, like, oh, I can't play this game now. Look at this shit.
Yo, man.
Mob hits, shut out, man, for the bits, brother. Mob hits with bits, you know?
Mob hits with the hits and the rumors, man.
You know?
Yeah, that shit, I just find that shit hilarious because everyone fucking jumped in. It's like, I bet no one has a clue who this dude is.
Yo, Logic, hold on. Logic Wind goes, introducing razor and shaving cream DLC for only $19.99. Have Aloy look her best as she's taming dinosaurs. Yeah, man. Oh, man. Silliness.
I swear, like, they have a bunch of people have so many issues with fucking Aloy.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, man. Like, either she's too round, you know, they say that she's too round, which was a complaint before, and now it's like, oh, she's got peach fuzz on her face. Oh.
Yeah, a lot of controversy with this woman. You know, they don't like her dreadlocks either. Oh, we can't talk about that.
They don't like her dreadlocks either.
Yeah, the only one I agree with, and this is kind of an industry-wide thing, not that specifically this game, is the whole, like, oh, we need to normalize, you know, when we need to make women, we can't make them real super extra pretty. We need to make them kind of average. I'm like, motherfucker, I don't play fantasy games for average-looking people. Yeah. Unless I'm playing like Metro, like I don't want to see guys that look normal either. In fairness, like I don't want to just see like a
punchy. I agree with you. Yeah, I agree. I'm like, can't, like, you know, because Horizon, even the original, I'm like, damn, everybody's fucking ugly in this game. You know, I'm like, can I get some pretty people? And it's not a deal breaker, obviously, but that is something I noticed with Horizon in general. I'm like, yeah, these are some ugly people, man or woman. You know,
it's never game breaking, but it's one of those things where if somebody asks you, like, do you like how normalized and realistic the people look? You'd be like, no.
Like, no.
Like,
no.
Oh, would. Yeah. We went out of our way to make them look this way. Are you happy with this decision? No.
Well, not at all. I mean, the funny thing about Aloy though is that she always has the beauty rim light on her in the game.
Even when she shouldn't, you know, it's like there's no lighting. Like, where's this lighting coming from?
You know what it is? It's because the reason why they do it is just because it's a quick and dirty way of building environment separation.
Yeah,
you know, it's used in film. Like, you will see, like, you know, like, you'll notice, like, if you ever pay attention to the lighting of a scene, it's close enough for reverse shots and close-ups, but they change the lighting setups just to separate a person away from the background. And that's what's happening with Aloy in the game. They put this rim light on her so that she separates naturally, you know, visually from the rest of the background.
Yeah. Anyway, any thoughts on Horizon, the controversies?
Yeah, I think people are just pent up and angry because Elden Ring isn't out yet.
Yeah, maybe. You know,
they'll be like, Elden Ring does not have enough peach fuzz on the armor.
Oh, on the armor.
I think Elden Ring veterans will just troll. They'll be like, nope, the game drops to like 5 frames here, so let's just not fight here.
Not enough lore in this game.
I don't know, like, I mean, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but generally Souls fans, they celebrate their games. It's weird. It's a very positive
culture. It's other people it's other people who find the games too hard. Again, by the way, you know what's going to happen. The difficulty in games controversy is going to come up again. It's funny because we already had a taste of this with Sifu, right? But it's going to come up again, you know?
Sifu is hard. I will give it that. Like, whoa, that game is hard. And not like the Dark Souls 1950s dad tough but fair kind of thing. Like, you fucking beat you like a redheaded stepchild in that game.
Damn. But,
it's super fun, but it is definitely, I'd say it's harder than Dark Souls.
Damn. It's like that shit.
Well,
it's like that.
Well, what we should do is definitely gonna search this game if it has a moonlight sword. I'm going to do is put it in Photoshop and put some red peach fuzz on it.
Yay.
I can't use this weapon anymore. Look at this peach fuzz. Just zoom in on it.
Chris, you know what I mean? I'm going to immediately track down fire and kill everything with it.
See, I'm going to start the opposite thing. I'm like, where's Lara Croft's peach fuzz, man? That shit ain't real, you know? Too smooth, you know? As a matter of fact, yeah, go ahead.
That's actually, people say that unironically, man. Like, they put it on there for a reason, because it does make her look more realistic. Yeah. Like, yeah, you pointed it out. They take it off, and it doesn't look as good. She looks better with peach fuzz.
Yeah. Yeah, people are fucking weird, dude.
If people have a problem with the peach fuzz, they can just play the PlayStation 4 version because she doesn't have it on there.
There you go.
Right.
All right. All right, let's move on, man. Oh, shit, that was the wrong one. By the way, guess what's back in the new cycle?
Cyberpunk.
The game that's never left the new cycle, actually. Yeah, Cyberpunk. We have to talk about Cyberpunk. It finally happened.
Released the PlayStation 5 version.
Yes, they did.
And Xbox Series X.
Yeah, they dropped it finally. And my question to everybody is, does anyone care at this point?
Is it fixed? Like, apparently is it fully fixed?
Apparently, it's...
No, actually, no. According to CD Projekt Red, it's in an acceptable state.
No. Whoa. No. That doesn't...
Hey,
no.
Whoa.
Here's the thing. Like, they said that beforehand, before this update came out. Now, the thing is, they did actually do quite a bit of updating on this, like, to the point where, like, there's actual, you know, character AI for all the different pedestrians. The pedestrians don't disappear when you look away. There's
cars
a bunch
also react. The drivers react.
Yeah, their drivers react. Thing, yeah. They can get into a crash and they'll get knocked out in the car. So they added all this.
Redid
the fight mechanics. They also added a new weapon, which is the throwing knives. They also added
two new guns,
and redesigned the augment system, and also got rid of some of the augments that were kind of dumb, like one of the underwater perks. Okay, so they did quite a bit of work. Now the question is,
you get apartments, you can customize your character looking at the mirror in the bathroom.
Yeah, there's new apartments, you know, so you don't need to live in the old place anymore.
But my other question is, again, what incentive do people have to play this at this moment with Horizon Forbidden West and Elden Ring coming out?
There's a free trial.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
there's a free trial. They can just jump in there if they're not sure. And it's at, what, $30 now, I think? They dropped the price for this week,
But with everything, I'm like, yeah, in the long run. But like right now, Tony brings up a good fucking point. There are two games that are vastly different that are pretty much like captivating the entire gaming audience, dropping in the span of a week. And you want to throw your update for next gen consoles that you're trying to hope people will give a second chance to? Not when Elden Ring's out.
Well, the upset, it's a first person shooter. Pretty much, it's an RPG, but you're in first person. It's nothing like Horizon or Elden Ring.
No, so, but my point is, like, why should people drop? You know, not play these new games just to play this old one that's been broken forever. You know,
nobody needs to not to drop anything. I mean, like I said, there's a free trial out there; they can just try it out if they want. I mean, I don't know.
I just think the bad timing's bad. You know, like I'm not saying
timing is bad. They should have done this honestly. And Adam, you're right, but one thing that does kind of fill that slot is Dying Light.
Sort of.
That's another new game that's out, you know?
But that's broken. That's got nothing but problems even after this patch.
Well, yeah, it is the new Cyberpunk.
Apparently we got one more patch to go before this game is actually playable. Oh, so unfortunately it's gonna be fully released apparently about the time Elden Ring is. So
hopefully.
Yeah.
That's the one thing gonna get me to not play Dying Light.
Brett, Brett and Tony, when would be a better time in your eyes?
Maybe next month. There's less games coming out, I believe, you know?
Yeah, always going to be new games at some point in time.
No, but this level of new games? Yeah, like,
but
that's what I'm saying.
You don't care about them. Huh? Like, you're just assuming that everyone cares about those two games.
I don't care. I'm saying
those two games.
Yeah, but again, those are games that are like a lot of people actually do care about. So I'm not saying don't release this. Obviously releases, but I'm just saying wait until it's a little bit slower, you know, where you could actually have attention. That I do still believe Cyberpunk deserves a second chance. There's actually a good game in there, you know, but now this is the equivalent of releasing Titanfall 2 in between Battlefield and Call of Duty. No one gives a fuck because they're busy with these other games. No.
But that's different, though. They were all first-person shooters.
You're missing the point, though. Go ahead,
Brett. The game is different, but now
it's
is
different.
The...
It's too different.
If you look at the release schedule, now is the most competitive time of the year. So that's all. I think that's all Tony's saying.
Exactly.
There's always going to be, like, yes, they're different styles, but none of us just play first-person shooters or just play RPGs. There is crossover, so there will be some effect.
I have no idea what those games
are. Oh, by the way, thank you for Fergus. He said Destiny 2, the new DLC. That's next week. This is a bad time for Cyberpunk. Next month would have been better.
I want to answer Brian's question.
Yeah.
When this should have come out was January, when everybody was starving for something to fucking play.
January would have been good. January would have been perfect.
A lot of people would have just gotten consoles for Christmas,
but nobody had
anything to play.
But the thing about it is that it also depends on when the actual developers are finished and the approval process.
Yeah,
Well, you know, lot of things. There's a lot of things that goes into a release rather than just like, hey, just ship it out. You know?
Oh no, I'm not saying they should have just released it. I'm saying they should have finished it in January. I'm not sure.
I'm not gonna go that far. I mean, even though I do agree with the sentiment, I would just say save it for a less busy window, like beginning of March. You know what I'm saying? That's what I say.
March is kind of crowded too. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't hold it off. See, that's the thing. I wouldn't hold it off until like April, which is probably when the window's gonna come up. So that's why I said, like, if they could have gotten their shit together
ideal. That would have been ideal. Yeah, that would have been ideal.
And gotten it in January, that would have been perfect. The next time to really release without a lot of competition is April. And I don't necessarily think they should have waited. But I do agree with the whole, it's a busy time of year. It's not a great time to have finished this.
Yeah. Again, there are a lot of, there's more lulls in gaming than heavy times. They could have picked a different time. That's all I'm saying. You know, it's like... I'm mildly interested to see how it's like, but I'm like, I got all this other shit going on right now. Why should I stop playing a new game for this old shit, you know?
But I think you also are a unique situation because your playing of games depends on the news cycle.
The new cycle. I could make a slew of articles just on this. But again, I'm like, this is a waste of people's time at this moment, you know?
I have no interest in Horizon. I didn't have an interest in the last one, remember? So for me, it's not. And I don't even have Cyberpunk either. So I don't see, right now I feel like, well, it's open for me right now. I don't see.
Oh, no, there's obviously going to be individual cases. Yeah, there's individual cases. But I'm talking about as a whole, the gaming community is focusing on these specific titles at the moment. That's all I'm saying. I still think it would have been a better time to release it a little bit later when you actually can have more breathing room for Cyberpunk to get that chance that it deserves. You know, I'm not saying don't play this.
Any
game.
Open time for that?
There right will. There but always is. Most they, of the year yeah, is fucking empty.
Everything that we heard last year was February and March. That's all we kept hearing. Oh, we got pushed back to February and March.
Well, it did come out of February.
Everything, though. But it's just all these games. So right now they have no.
February is the new. November. You know.
Yeah, they just got to get it out there and say fuck it. This is it. And I think that's why they did the free trial, because they're like, listen, we get it. There's other shit coming out, and you're not sure if you want to invest, so we'll cut the price in half, and we'll give it free. Go ahead, try it out. If you don't like it, then fuck it. But
So here's a couple of words that I never thought I would ever say.
Oh.
In the defense of Cyberpunk...
Oh, shit.
I think that they should release it as soon as it's ready. Whether Call of Duty's coming out, whether Red Dead Redemption's coming out, all in the same day with God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, and Halo... And the reason I'm saying this is this game has been out for well over a year.
Yeah, like
millions and millions and millions and millions of adoring fans and screaming fans and disgusted fans have paid in full for this game and have been waiting for years or for a year plus for this game to be playable in their systems and waiting for a release date where there's nothing else. Is kind of in the disservice of their fans, and I'm just gonna say I've been one of the biggest critics of CD Projekt Red, and Cyberpunk, but I think releasing it as soon as it's available is the best.
I agree. I think that's what the thing is. I think that what they're doing right now is that they're looking to get the narrative up again, that they fixed a lot of it and a lot of the issues have been addressed and all that other stuff. So I think just releasing it as soon as possible. Because here's the thing. The game did amazing. Despite all the brokenness of the game.
Yeah, it did. You know, amazing. Well, you know, people felt, you know, kind of fell for it. Let's just
they
be
kind
honest.
Of, they kind of, because they had the hope for it, right? So, I mean, again, hopefully, hopefully they learn their lesson with these sort of open world games and they put out the best conditioned thing that they can, not try to sell, put it on so many different things.
Well, Dying Light teacher says they didn't learn their lesson, you know?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I don't know. Like, Dying Light was in development for a pretty long time.
Yeah, that was.
And I feel like this is a situation where they had a lack of focus on whatever they were doing. And I think that's something that happens in the game industry a lot, where the scope of what they wanted, it, you know, and the final product don't match up. I mean, I remember they were talking about, like, in Dying Light, you can build a city and you can do all this other crazy stuff.
Yeah,
can
I remember.
Can you even do any of that stuff in that new one?
Well, you unlock areas, yeah.
Like in the original rhetoric, they were saying that you can affect the city, you can adjust things,
happens. That's it.
But you take over
territories, and as you take over territories and level them up, they build up bases around the
more
city,
shops
which
and save points and stuff like that. Yeah, that's there.
And you know, they have ways to travel and like zip lines, so it makes it easier. The more you unlock, the more you build up a faction. Not only do you get faction rewards, but like if you go with the survivors, they get like extra fans and zip lines that climb the other way and all kinds of other crazy shit, so you can parkour through the city if you go with the
The game is complete. It's a solid game. It just has a lot of technical problems.
And
you get those technical out and we're off to the races. This is one of the games of the year contender if you have no technical problems.
Yeah, I have to say, even I playing both and getting terrible bugs in both, considering I'm stuck in the death loop, I'm not mad at Dying Light. I'm frustrated. But here's the thing, and I think the difference between them, underneath the technical bugs of Dying Light, there's a great fucking game.
Yeah.
It is just fun to play. When you kicked on Cyberpunk for the first time, my immediate thought was, this game isn't done, man. And there's an inherent difference between not being half-baked and being buggy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I've wondered this a lot during the last week.
I feel like Dying Light in general has what I call the Grand Theft Auto effect. For as much as Grand Theft Auto was broken, the amount of fun and things that you can do overshadows a lot of the problems that Grand Theft Auto had.
And that's kind of what I've been seeing. And I honestly think it's fascinating because it seems to me like while we all talk about like you know games coming out broken, you know, our forgiveness genuinely does seem to depend on the rule of awesome, which is you can get away with anything if it's cool enough.
Yeah. I mean, if you can somehow just make the game fun enough, or it allows you to sort of overlook a lot of the problems it has.
The only thing is, if you can't play, and that's the problem. It's like I came across, and with the death loop and then the audio, where it's forcing you to stop playing. It's not like, oh well, I fell through this hole, but I'll get out of it. No. Now you're just stuck, and you have to restart. That's when it gets annoying, because it's like, shit, I can't really play this. And then you start getting nervous every time something starts acting a little screwy. He's like, oh, is it going to happen to me now? Is this it?
That was me in Assassin's Creed Revelations. Like, literally, that game could not stay on running on my console for more than, I'd say, an hour. Any more than that, just some crazy-ass bug would kill the game. And the problem is that I was enjoying it, you know?
Yeah. All right. We'll move on here. We got to talk about Nintendo.
Uh-oh. Did they make something else?
We'll kind of get to that in a bit. But yeah, Nintendo will end 3DS and Wii U eShop purchases in 2023. Cutting it off.
Now the bigger question is, will people make as much of an uproar as they did for PlayStation?
Well, they haven't. They haven't. Yeah, and you know why? Because Nintendo fans, you know, they're like,
Nintendo
fans.
Nintendo fans are the perfect patsy. You can literally take something away from them and then sell it right back to them, and they'll buy that shit again.
Yep.
Oh yeah, just like the 2DS. Exactly. It's like, hey, do you remember the 3D feature we promoted with this system? Well, we took it out. Wow, that's even better.
Better.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I
that's
love
the whole
this door
point
wedge.
Of it.
Yeah. 2DS doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah. It's like, That was the whole fucking selling point. It's like, oh, it's, you have 3D without glasses. Yeah. And then what they do? They took
Like, literally, it's like a lot of people, like, it's Nintendo has created, somehow created this fan base that literally has, like, bird memory. They forget about whatever existed in the past, that you can literally just put it out there again. I'm like, oh my God!
How about when we were talking about, there was people who were like, oh, I'm going to sell my Switch to get this new Switch Lite. It's even better. It's even more portable. The whole point of the Switch was you're supposed to be able to dock it and then take it with you.
Yes.
And they took that feature out, and you're saying this is better.
Chris, proof in point. They'll sit there and tell you about all the technical advantages and how cool it is to carry a Switch around and all the things that it can do and how you can dock it. And then you're like, oh, so like you like features and handhelds. Are you getting a Steam Deck? They'll be like, no. Well, then you don't fucking like features that much, goddammit.
No, you're right about that.
But how do you celebrate taking features away? The whole thing you're hanging your head on is like the portable console, the console you can take with you. Well, now it's not a console anymore because you can't dock it anymore. But somehow that's better.
Nintendo fans are strange, man. They really are.
They just go, I didn't use that much anyway, I guess.
I think it's also an issue with modern Nintendo fans. I feel like for the people that actually grew up with the previous generation of Nintendo games, it's a little bit different. Like, you know, guys like our age.
Well, you gotta get more specific with that, because think about it, right? Me and Brett, we're basically, you know, Brett's a little younger, but we're the same generation, basically. He played Nintendo game, you know, in consoles all the time. I stopped with the Super Nintendo. I'm like, fuck this shit, you know?
Yeah.
And I came back with the Switch. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is why he left the company, you know? So I don't think it's that. It's just, I think you have to be a specific kind of person to be into the cult of Nintendo. It's not a generational thing, I think, you know? But I do agree that the younger guys are a little bit more fervent up with this shit, you know?
I think there's a correlation.
This company literally sells cardboard, and these guys love it, you know?
You know why, Tony? Well, and I think I figured this out.
Go ahead, Brett.
Is Nintendo really aims for childhood gaming? Like, have you noticed this? It has kind of two avenues of revenue. Really young gamers and gamers that are nostalgic for being really young gamers.
Yeah.
I think they really land on that kind of duality. Like, it's fine if you become a teenager, you go away, you go on your, what was it, Rammstein? No, that's not a bad, what is the fuck called? Anyway, you go on your little venture into the world, and then you come back to Nintendo because it makes you feel like when you were a kid again. I think they really capitalize on that a fucking lot. Because most of the hardcore Nintendo players, they'll tell you, like, love stories of when they were younger playing Pokemon or whatever game that they were really fucking into. Because Nintendo does make fun games. Yeah. And it just sucked them in and just reminds me of the child. That's how they got me, man. And that's how they got to, like, you know, we sat around and played the NES. And they're like, oh, God, it makes it feel like – it's the reason we play all the Mario games, goddammit. It's straight up.
There's. I'm pretty sure if you were to poll a whole bunch of Nintendo fans, especially adult Nintendo fans, I'm pretty sure there's a huge, Venn diagram crossover between them and Disney fans. You know, the people that love to go to the theme parks and stuff like that. It's just, you know, it's part of the nostalgia is what keeps them going. And by the way, I want to mention a correction. They're technically not closing the complete Wii U shop. The Switch online store is still up and running. So
It's just for the 3DS and Wii U shops.
Yeah, the Wii U shop is technically still running on the Switch online store.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's a joke because you know Switch has a lot of Wii U.
Oh, okay. I miss a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke. I was like, wait, what?
That's the joke. You know,
it's a joke.
No, right.
Like, I wish they would at least give people a way if they had purchased something off these stores. Once they shut down the stores, there's no way to get your stuff again. So if you do a system transfer, let's say your 3DS dies and you have to you use a new one, all your shit is gone, right? And then you'll never get that stuff back. If there's anything exclusive, this happened with the Wii also. There was exclusive games that were just on the Wii Shop channel. You couldn't get it anywhere else. Once they shut that off, that's it. That's gone forever. right? They made no effort to port those things. It's like, hey, we'll give you this alternate way to acquire these, or if you bought them, we'll give you an alternate way to acquire them again if you purchase them. No, there's just no plan for that. They're just like, too bad, so sad. Why don't you just move up to the why don't you own a Switch? What's wrong with you, right? It's just Reggie telling you what's wrong with you. And it's like, no, that's a shitty thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, again, Nintendo has this like abusive relationship with the fans if the fans are okay with it. You know, that Nintendo gives them so little, you know, but they give them so much. It's so insane to me.
It's so funny. You know, it's almost like what we were talking about, what I tweeted about earlier, where the expectations are so low, you know.
Nintendo makes a fundamentally different kind of game. Like they focus on this. They're one of the only people that actually focus on the fun aspect. They ask the question, like, while I'm playing it, am I having fun? I'm not incentivizing people with a different color armor with a higher number on it, you know, and you know, I'm not making you necessarily pray to the RNG gods. I'm not making you grind or any of that shit, because kids don't want to do that. They're focused on making fun games. And they genuinely succeed a lot of times in making really fun games. And that's something that, I'll be honest, a lot of the industry doesn't necessarily do. I'm looking at you, Bungie.
Damn. But at the same time, and you know, I'm speaking for myself, I'm like, I'm not trying to play those kind of games, man. You know, I need something more, you know, than just like a gamey game. It's like, okay, you have nice mechanics. That's great. Can you give me a good story here? Can you give me a variety of different things, you know? Even some tedium too, you know? It's like, yeah, crafting and all that shit sucks, but if it gives me some cool armor later on, give me that, you know? Like, you're right. Like, Nintendo just has the bare bones fun games. That's great, but I need more than that. You know, and that's why literally when I hit puberty, I'm like, yeah, I'm kind of done with Nintendo. That's why I went over to Genesis. You know,
I think a lot of people did. I'm calling out, and it's not fair to call out Bungie necessarily. I want to correct myself here. This is a tactic pioneered by Blizzard in World of Warcraft. Has since then gone over and just tainted the entire gaming landscape. So yeah, like this whole thing where all of a sudden like you can't find new armor, you just get the same armor, but now it's slightly higher armor on it and has like, you know, it's blue and like, oh, well, I should get the blue and now I'm going to go for a purple. That whole fucking thing is Warcraft's fault. Yeah. And I got to say, I hate it. I hate it. I hate that it's bled over. It used to not be a thing. You used to unlock cool stuff. And now they fucking sell it to you. Now they sell it to you. And that's the shit that really pisses me off.
You know what really grinds my gears?
You used to be able to just do a fucking mission to get a cool outfit. Very rarely do they let you do that shit anymore.
But
I'm done. Right, over.
Yeah, but yeah, Nintendo. What else is there to say about Nintendo? You know. But you're right, Manny. There was no outrage with this. None.
No, there is no. There's no outrage.
Nintendo fans were happy. You know. Yay! We get to buy these games again.
Well, they always. It's like they do.
It's like yay! We get to buy these games again, and there's no. What do they call it? Like. You know, like how people are like, man, you know, what is going to happen to all the games that I purchased on there? It's like they just effectively made all those purchases disposable.
Yeah,
yeah. It's the big thing we all feared with digital games, and Nintendo fans are accepting it without.
And they just accept it wholeheartedly.
Yeah, right? It's super weird.
Yeah,
it's like Nintendo. How awesome would it be? But again, it's like how like we always talk about backward compatibility to be able to play all of your legacy. How awesome would it have been to be able to be like, okay, all those games that those legacy titles all work on the new thing, but it's like they just wipe the slate over and nobody complains about it.
Yeah, it's like, hey, let me sell you Super Mario Brothers again, you know,
yeah, with a million times. Right now they're selling you, Earthbound 1 again, and then they're giving you Earthbound for Nintendo.
Oh, I'm telling you, I'm looking into my crystal ball on this one, and I'm saying we're going to hear news of Nintendo, rumors of Nintendo creating a new system soon.
Yeah.
You think about the gen for Switch could almost be up. It was released halfway through last gen. We're already a year into this gen.
Yeah, by the way, Tumeka says that he did see outrage about this on his end. I didn't see that.
Kotaku has this whole piece on it. About fans outraged over this, and they're like, why did they do that? I have all my games. Well, exactly what we just said. There's a bunch of tweets that the companies are showing.
But here's the thing. Nintendo won't cave like Sony did.
Yeah.
They'll wipe it out. They'll let your asses complain, and it'll be like, Hey.
They don't care, yeah.
By the way, do you want Super Mario 1 again?
Yes, I do. Yeah. Yeah, because they know
that, that may not work right.
Enjoy. Oh my God, Super Mario Brothers! You know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, oh my God.
And Nintendo and fans are different. Another expansion pass.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Oh, this always happens. Yeah, they will not get pushback. If Microsoft ever said, hey, you know what, nobody's buying OG Xbox games.
We'll pull those down the office.
Oh, they'll be controversy.
I put on my mask.
Yeah,
right.
And people would be outraged. So same thing. Look at the shit. Jim Ryan practically shut down the Vita store until developers and everybody was like, "What the fuck are you doing, man?" And and they backed off. Right?
Jim Ryan's like, "We're gonna close down the store." Wait, you were using that? I'm so sorry.
Yeah. You know, and then they make a rollout plan. Well, I mean, that was stupid to begin with.
Yeah, hold on. I gotta bring something up here because Stumaker says if you don't follow Nintendo content on social media, then you probably won't see much of the outrage. Dude, you can't get away from seeing Nintendo shit on social media. Every time a direct comes, oh my God, the greatest thing ever. Oh my God, I see all that shit.
Well,
you know?
If you go to Nintendo Reddit right now, there's a lot of people flipping out over this. They're trying to put together a petition.
I think this is just a case of the evangelicals drowning out the complainers. Because
it might be
Nintendo has some of the most vicious cheerleaders, and that is actually part of the problem.
Yo, is that a squeaky toy?
It's a squeaky toy.
It's a dog. It's a dog. There we go.
Oh, sorry, my bad. It's a dog.
They got dogs.
Yeah.
They got dogs.
No, because if it was Brett with that shit, I'm like, hold on, bro, what's wrong with you? But if it's a dog, I'll allow it. Yeah,
that's a stress squeaky.
Yeah, no, but it's a dog. That's cool. Shout out to Brett's dog, you know.
Brett dog.
But they are. Again, like I said, you don't have to follow any Nintendo, and your whole timeline will be flooded with Nintendo. You can't escape that fucking company, you know? Every time a direct, oh my God, did you see the direct? Did you see how amazing it was? Every direct. And they've all been terrible. You know,
literally like 10,000 reaction videos that show up on
YouTube fucking timeline. Yeah, with the fucking
reaction.
Yeah, exactly. You know, with the outglowing shit. You know,
with the
I mean, the apologists for Nintendo are outrageous. I remember when we did the Game Awards. When the Game Awards happened, what was the main rumor that came out? They're going to talk about Breath of the Wild too. They're going to bring Anuma out in the Game Awards. Jeff Keighley put out that tweet. It's like, oh, he's obviously talking about Breath of the Wild too. Well, how much news did we get about that? Zero news.
Yeah.
What were the videos after that I saw? And then people on social media? Oh, it's even better that they didn't tell us anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how do you rationalize that? How the fuck? I'm like, yo, wait a minute. Here, where's my crazy pill prescription? I forgot.
The world's going to end tomorrow, but if it doesn't, it'll end in a year from now. So we're okay.
Yeah, we're okay. Hey, you can buy Mario again, man.
Yo, that's actually really interesting, though. Like, it's interesting that there's on social media a lot of fan outcry, but it doesn't seem to be hitting the news cycle. Because that's kind of what I was talking about. Like, you don't see this shit really hitting the news in a lot of, you know, making a splash. Everybody just kind of accepts it industry-wide. It's not even just the fans. Like, it's...
Yeah, because it's Nintendo. People let them get away with that stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if we're trying to pinpoint where the problem is, then part of it is, you know, the apologist journalists.
Listen, I'm not going to say no, because I see a lot of that in this industry. I'm saying this as a journalist. I'm like, there's a lot of my peers that I'm like, bro, what the fuck is wrong with you? This company is blatantly anti-consumer, you know? But, you know, they have the nostalgia too, you know? Like, oh, yeah, I remember playing Nintendo when I was a kid. Like, all right, bro.
It's too much of that, people. And that's what I was saying last week when I was talking about, like, with my kids and things that they're playing. And you see kids with Fortnite and all stuff. It's like our generation, we grew up with Nintendo. But eventually our generation is going to fade out. And then the ones that are coming in, I don't think they have that loyalty toward Nintendo.
Well, no, like Manny said, the younger guys are actually crazier hardcore for Nintendo than us. The guys who grew up with Pokemon and stuff. We didn't have Pokemon when we were kids.
That's like the generation best.
Right? Yeah.
It's like behind our age. And I feel like they're into the whole Nintendo ecosystem and all that stuff. But I think that, yes, for somebody like for newer youngers, I don't think Nintendo is actually really a factor. I feel like a lot of it is sort of flattened out. Like they're just as willing to play a mobile game or a handheld game. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. No, I was going to say with newer kids, they don't care about platforms at all. They just watch fucking streamers, you know?
No, I mean, they don't care about platforms.
They're playing Fortnite.
They'll play Fortnite on their phone. They're not really caring about, like, any of the things that we sort of get into as latency and all that stuff. They only really see the part I'm getting to play, and it seems like I'm actually doing something as I'm doing.
Yeah. No, you're 100% right, because, like, my youngest nephew, he doesn't care about the platform. He just wants to play Fortnite. He just wants to play Roblox. You know, that's all he cares about, you know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the older one, who's 22, he's like, PlayStation for life, you know?
Yeah. He's also learned from a different generation.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think it's exactly what you guys are talking about. It just depends on the generation. I think the generations we're seeing reacting to this, a lot of the people that we follow are my generation.
Yeah.
And my generation is the generation that grew up.
My generation. Pokemon. I got that song stuck in my head.
the Who song?
Yeah, the Who song, exactly.
Yeah, that's a good song. They're the ones that grew up with Ocarina of Time. They're the ones that Pokemon came out at the exact same time they were going to elementary and middle school. Mm-hmm. They're the same generation where, Mario was coming out with some of its best games and went to 3D and all that stuff. So they're the ones that love Odin on Member Berries.
Yeah.
And they don't affect everyone the same. But this particular generation, which is becoming the most powerful generation in terms of purchasing power for video games, your generation is kind of like a mixed, half of the people are into video games and half of the people are part of the older generation, where it's like, well, you play video games? Were you a kid? Like, that kind of people. And then the older generation is...
Yo, you a nerd?
Yeah,
Carlos, you're right. Like, half of our generation, they're like, game, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know,
our generation is the generation that got ostracized for playing video games.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kid stuff. That you shouldn't be playing that. What are you, a baby?
Yeah, and
well, because of video games, I got a job in the industry. Meanwhile, you live in the fucking trailer trash fucking park, you know. So,
and anyway, they'll still call you, and they'll still say you're
still, fucking loser. You're still playing games, motherfucker. You're still playing them, you know. Games. Meanwhile, they're fucking paying like, you know, they got to pay back child support and shit, you know. Anyway, let me stop. All right, go on. But you're right,
not,
though.
That's kind of like a specific person almost. Yeah.
You know, no, but that's a whole other conversation. You know, I'll just say this. And this comes from a lot of, like, Hispanic families, or I guess, you know, minority families. It's like, it's funny to have people, like, in your own family belittle you when you make more money than them. Just because, you know, you work in an industry they don't understand. Kind of interesting how that works, right? Like, oh, yeah, you do that thing, right? You make money. I'm like, motherfucker, I make more money than you. What are you talking about? You know?
There's a YouTuber, I won't say his name, but anyway, he was talking about that during the holidays. He said he went to a family get-together, and he said, that's the last one he'll ever go to, because this is what he does full-time, and he was like, they were saying the same shit. All you do is talk video games, and you're on YouTube, that's not a real job. He's like, I make more money than all you put
together. Yeah, exactly.
And you're all shitting on me for this? He was like, fuck you. And he's like, yeah, so he's never going back there again.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Although I will say this, though, Manny, I know you could relate to this. Now that I go to an office 3 days a week, now they're taking me seriously. I'm like, it's the same fucking job. You know?
Manny knows that firsthand.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I mean, like, that was my father was like, you know, he would say, you know, he didn't rag on me, but he'd say, hey, when are you going to get a real job?
Yeah.
And then what I, because I knew, I didn't fight it, but what I did was that at the moment that I had a studio job for a while, and he worked not far from me, I brought him over to the job to see what I do, to see what I work as, because all people ever see is that you're at home, that you're just doing this thing, you're wasting your fucking time. And I think a lot of times, especially for our, you know, our parents, it's like seeing this Saturday generation, it's seeing is believing. Right.
Hey, remember when we were making the website and you're doing the R and I was doing the HTML at the time, and then my stepfather comes down and he sees her. What are you doing? Oh, we're making a website. He's like, get a real trade. You should do something real. Like, he just blew everything off. Like,
I mean, but you got, like, where he comes from is you go to a school, a trade school, you become an apprentice or something like that, or something that has some sort of part of it. Whereas we're in the process of essentially figuring out what the future is, right?
Yeah.
you know, making websites.
Man, I just imagine Manny taking his dad to his office, and he's like, "Come with me, and you'll be."
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's because, like, because here's the thing, like, I knew at least what my father is. It's like, you know, you can talk in general, adults, you can talk to them and talk to them about it, and it still doesn't click.
It doesn't click, actually, yeah.
But actually, them going to that specific place or seeing that you're going there every day, then that makes sense to them.
Yeah, it's so weird how that works. I've noticed that lately when I tell some of my family members, like, and what do you do at the office? I'm like, the same shit I do at home. You know, it's like it's the same job, you know, but yeah. Oh, an office. Ooh.
Yeah, it becomes it becomes like big time, right? Yeah. You're like, oh, hey, I got a full time at a thing. Well, it's like, dude, we're pretty much doing the same thing. The only difference is I'm doing it in an office as opposed to my home.
Well, now with the pandemic, it's much more understandable for those types of people. It's like, oh,
That's an interesting thing. I'd like to. A lot more people are working from home these days. Like, now, does this make sense to you?
Yeah, right. But anyway, going back to the topic, I guess some of the guys in the chat don't, you know, the younger guys don't understand. It's like, yeah, our generation, they shitted on you. They made fun of you if you played video games.
You get it all over the place. You get it from your family. You get it from the people at school that like they supposedly, you know, they're an adult now, right?
Yeah.
You know, and
remember when we were in junior high school, we hanged out with our little clique because all the popular kids like video games. What the fuck is that? Video games.
You know? How about even after that with like the Palm Pilot and any of those things, or even getting a phone, that smartphone? They're like, what is wrong with you? Why would you want something like that?
Yeah, why would
to you text want... when you can call somebody? Are you
what is
stupid?
That video? What is that video game thing? I mean, people used to look at Adam because Adam was always at the forefront of technology, right? Back in the day,
and fashion, he had
this, you know,
fashion. But back in the day, he used to have this fancy ass beeper that literally. When you could literally see the message on the screen, as opposed to like most beepers, where
you could see the whole thing.
You just call it up and then you call it up and they tell you what the thing was. That's what a beeper used to do. This one, literally, somebody would type it and then send it to your phone. And you'd send it to the beeper and you'd see it on.
Yeah,
that was.
And people were calling him stupid for having that.
Yeah.
And now look at things, you know.
Now look, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I was like, shit, look at it now. Everybody has this one. Who has a flip phone now? I don't know anybody just with a flip.
Yeah. I mean, I do. I mean, those flip
phones. I miss my flip phone, though. I miss some that of them, shit.
Man, like, man, the Nokia one? The, like,
oh, I was about to say, miss my Nokia.
Oh, man. That phone was like the. Like,
hell yeah.
Like, you could get in a rainstorm. You just let that shit dry, and then you're good. Like, drop it on the floor. It'll look like it explodes. And you just put it right back together.
Yeah, Nokia phones will be around in the post-apocalypse, man.
Yeah.
Well, not the current ones. But those are all Microsoft.
The old ones.
The old brick. They'll dig them out of landfills and use that shit. They'll be super valuable.
Man, I miss my Nokia, boy. I miss that shit.
The candy bar phone.
Yeah, the candy bar. Remember that shit? The candy bar phone, man. You should rock that shit. With the little antenna, you know, the thick one.
That's another fun thing. Like, we also, like, our generation sort of grew up in when technology was essentially growing with us. So we essentially grew up in a generation where we didn't have any cell phones or any of that.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know.
Everywhere. Every corner had a payphone.
The way I've seen our generation described is basically analog childhood, digital adulthood. I think that's pretty apt. You know,
never. Yeah. We saw both worlds. Mm-hmm. Like there's a whole different fucking world that existed before the internet, and we saw that world and this world. And I gotta tell you, as one of those people, it's fucking weird. It is super weird because our nostalgia is genuinely from an entirely different world than the one that we're living in, which, you know, our parents kind of had, but not to our degree, man.
Yeah, but the thing is, we also have that mix of nostalgia too. It's like, oh yeah, remember, you know, Thundercast, and then you go, oh, remember modems? You know, shit like that. Yo, remember the AOL chat rooms? You know, shit like that.
Yeah, but look at this. Look what we're doing. We couldn't. We had real player. We couldn't fucking real video like this. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I remember that.
Sometimes we can. Yeah, some days we can.
Yeah, you know, depending on Discord.
This
was
not even a thing. Like you said, we had the 36.6 modem or 56K, which never really went at 56.
No, it never did. You know, you have to. If you download that one song overnight and you pray nobody calls you, you know, cut off the connection. You know, motherfuckers on LimeWire and shit, you know.
You pray it's not a virus.
Yeah, right.
Can I tie this back in?
Yeah. Let's go back to Nintendo. Just shit on them some more.
Well, I just want to kind of close the loop on what you guys are talking about. Like, you know, so when we were growing up as kind of the nerd kids, and that shit was being looked down on other people. The interesting thing that you see a lot of times is that's why like adult nerds our age are so fiercely protective of our little nerd identity is because we got ridiculed for it. And we got ridiculed for it in a time where there was no internet. You couldn't go for social backup. There wasn't any. You were isolated. And so you had to withstand, you know, the taunts and the jeers and everything like that if you liked Wolverine that much, if you liked fucking Deadpool that much. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it became popular. And of course we're fucking protective of it because now all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, I love Wolverine. I love Deadpool. And you're sitting there like clutching your old Wolverine t-shirt. You're like, you know what? Go fuck yourself.
It's like now it's cool, right? Yeah, but back when I was the one. When I was still sitting in the room when nobody else was there, I was the idiot.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and now they're like, oh, why are you so mad that we're putting out movies and we're changing things? You know. We're changing things from these childhood characters you love. It's like, because I've been defensive of this shit for 25 goddamn years. All of a sudden it gets cool. New people come in. They're like, hey, you know what we should do different? Nothing. You should do nothing different. Get your own shit. I've been here for 30 years.
Yo, Brett, that shit brings me back. Like, I'm getting fucking – I don't remember what the exact example is, but I'm pretty sure everyone's like felt this before where like you're into this shit where you're ridiculed, where it's like – it's like not in the cool thing to do. And then like a couple of years later, you get a phone call from one of the people that criticized you and stuff. And they're asking you how to.
Now they're suddenly interested.
Set up my computer. I just got the computer. I got set up internet and all.
Man, you could kiss my butt.
You got a router? They just gave me
a router.
You helped me set up this router. I had those calls.
That's the one thing my father, he was that he never sort of goofed on any of us for games and for, for computers, because he always had an interest in technology. So at that point, it was like
Star Trek. You can't hate on technology. Yeah. Love Star Trek.
Yeah. Yeah. He always had an interest in that. So that was the one thing that he would be like, oh, you're still playing that stupid stuff. Cause he used to play games with us.
I'm second generation gamer, actually. Like, my dad bought me, yeah, for real. My dad used to play Atari back in the day, and like he and his buddy would go for high scores, and they'd play until like 3 or 4 in the morning, and they'd get their high score, and they just call the other person. You pick up the phone, you just hear them yell out a number, and then hang up, and then they go back to playing. You know, so they were actually playing multiplayer games over the telephone before I was born, which like is
the Can of Conks. That's how they were doing it. They would Can of Conks. They would record a VCR, would record it, like, look what I just did.
You remember the VHS recorders, man? Yeah. That big ass thing. Now you take videos on this thing. You know how crazy is that?
If you think about it now, you're like, dude, that's like a weird ad hoc online gaming thing before I was even born, right? And so then I was born, and my dad got Nintendo for me when I was 3. I couldn't fucking read yet. We used to sit down and play video games together. He played through the Super Nintendo era, and by the time the Nintendo 64 came out with a 3-horn control, he's like, nah, it's too complicated for me. But he used to play video games back with me when I was a kid. So actually, weird enough to think about, I am second generation gamer.
That's pretty awesome. Nice. Yeah.
I've literally never seen my dad ever play a video, ever.
How old is your pop anyways?
Mine?
Yeah, how old is he?
71, I think.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely older. Yeah, he's definitely older than my dad.
Oh, yeah, I've seen pictures of him wearing fucking hippie clothes.
Oh, shit.
That's all.
Yeah, right, shit. All right, because we're going to wrap up in about 10 minutes here. Your boy has to go to work tomorrow. You're very early. Got to go to bread. Yeah, the thing my family doesn't understand, you know? again, just being honest, it is very annoying to have somebody that is lesser in life than you making fun of you. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. You know, fucking Dominicans, man, I swear, you know, Anyway, by the way, real quick, Logic wins. I'm not gonna let me see if I can find it. Okay, he goes, years ago, I remember Sci-Fi had a WCG Ultimate Gamer, a gaming competition. One of the finalists was a Latin dude, and his mom apologized to him for not understanding his career path. This is just the shit we got to deal with, you know? That's just how it is. But even with my mom, she still thinks like, I'm like, you know, like it's like a hobby. I'm like, I pay all your bills. Like, what do you want?
Tony, are you a drug dealer?
Yeah, it's like, oh, you still play with the toys? I'm like, no, it's a fucking career here. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's move on. Let's make fun of Nintendo some more. Next thing we're going to talk about, or the last story of the night, is that Nintendo is now saying that they need new IPs to boost sales. The company that has thrived on nostalgia is now saying, oh yeah, maybe we need new IPs, you know, after the Switch sales have stagnated.
Well, you guys are a day late and a dollar short.
You know?
The thing about it is that they do create new IPs, but the thing is that eventually this stuff wears off. And we said it, weren't we talking about this on the previous episode about this?
About what?
We're always talking about.
They didn't make an official announcement like this or an official statement like this.
No, this was in an investor's call or something. Go ahead.
This was something that we've talked about in general. Like why when we were talking about when Chris was talking about the numbers.
Yeah.
He was literally saying that we were talking about how people just sort of stay on whatever they do, and there's no new thing to get really excited for.
They go through cycles.
Member berries, exactly.
Well, it's not just member berries. The Nintendo is a company that goes back to what's safe. Mm-hmm. They always turtle in when things don't work. I remember they go every gen. They do this. I remember in GameCube there was this game. I think it was called Geist or something. They made it. Yeah. I made this game, right? And it was an interesting plot. You were kind of like a spirit. I think you were a dead soldier or something, possess other people and control them. So you jump at an enemy and like he has a gun or whatever, you shoot your enemies. That game didn't sell well. You see another one? You ever hear of that game?
Nope.
They did. I think Odama was theirs too. That kind of weird Shogun era pinball style game. I mean, they try this stuff and it doesn't work. There's certain things that... like the developers in Japan will latch onto, like the WarioWare games or whatever. They'll just keep making those forever, right? Doesn't matter if it sells over a million, under a million, whatever. They'll always be another one.
I feel like there's I'm sure the development cost on that game is so low that they're just like, all right, we'll just throw it out, you know?
Yeah, there's a bias against the IPs that they did not come up with in-house. Yeah. There's a bias against Star Fox. There's a bias with like Geist and all that stuff that was not in Japan. That was like a probably Western second party deal. So there's that, and then so again they always go back. Okay, make another Smash Brothers, another Mario, another Zelda, whatever. So it's safe. Everybody knows these things, and we'll just keep that in memory. And then when they dabble a new thing and it doesn't work out, don't ever do anything new. And then the next gen will come along. It's like, all right, let's try something here. Let's pay a studio to do this, or let's absorb this thing. Oh, Rare was doing that? No, take it. All right. You know, they could have did Dinosaur Planet, but again, they were scared of doing something new. And then that became Star Fox Adventures, right? No. Rebrand this thing. Nobody knows what that dinosaur. Nobody cares about that shit. Even though you had Jurassic Park, all this stuff. No, dinosaurs.
I feel like the one thing about a lot of new IP and when it comes to developing them, I feel like trying to invest in a lower sort of idea, and then eventually that developing into something else. What was it, the one Pikmin? You know, yeah. Pikmin was I'm sure that wasn't a big budget title, but I for sure they let him get away with it because the budget was so low. And it was, you know, they didn't need to, you know, if it failed, it wasn't too bad of a failure.
Yeah, and I feel Miyamoto had more clout where his side projects would become like franchises. Yeah. That's not the case anymore. There was, I don't know if you remember, the Wii U days, they had pre-announced at E3 there was supposed to be Project Guard and Project Giant Robot. And it was like, well, what are these two games? Well, Project Guard just was tacked on to Star Fox Zero as Star Fox Guard, and it's a tower defense game. That's all mm-hmm. it is. They just took it and tacked it on. And then Giant Robot was just canceled. And then after that, like, Miyamoto's now overseeing Universal Parks. He, mm-hmm. he's not doing any. You notice he's now nowhere in the directs. Don't talk to him. Anytime they do talk to him, where is he? He's at Super Nintendo World or something. They have him overseeing movies and properties outside of the games.
He's got a sort of a window seat when it comes to that. He's not a game developer anymore. He's a, sort of like a mascot that they'll roll out to, you know, to essentially give legitimacy to whatever the thing. Oh, well, you know, Master Miyamoto, he approves.
Yeah,
you know?
And now Koizumi's the guy. He's the guy that comes out and talks about it. He's the game guru for Nintendo. He is the lead, kind of the lead designer that Miyamoto used to be. So he's the trusted resource for that.
He's the sleek new model Miyamoto,
right? Even though he's been around a long time, he's been around since Super Nintendo.
He looks, I don't know if he gets plastic surgery. He looks weird. Like, he looks young.
Yeah, but not like naturally young. Like where Hideo Kojima ages well, this guy looks bizarre. I don't know. Anyway, but he's been around a while. Yeah. You know, he either ages well or he just has weird
face. Or he got a lot of plastic surgery like the guy from Sega.
Oh, shit.
Who's the guy?
Oh, shit. Oh, shout out to Mob Hits again for the bits, man. Good
stuff. Yo, Mob Hits, thank you.
Making it Mob rain. Hits,
making it rain. Yeah, it's right. Raining
bits. Well, I mean, what else can I say? Like, this is, but it's a no-brainer. And yeah, Manny pointed out, well, I went over the numbers, right? What did I say? They always lean on what's on. I mean, a port of a Wii U Mario Kart is the top selling game on the Switch. This is why they sit back and go, what the fuck do we have to do anything else? I mean, seriously, you think they're going to sit and think, what do we need a new character? Nah, man, they're just going to make Mario Kart DLC now. For a freaking two-generation old game, they're making DLC now for it.
It's amazing. And the fans lap it up. They lap it up.
Oh, yes, get more. When's the next Smash Brothers? You just had one. They just did an update. Whatever. No, I need a new one.
And he literally said it's the last update.
Yeah. they'll wish cast. Watch, next time there's a Nintendo Direct. Oh, I bet there'll be a Smash Brothers update, dude. He said there's no more.
Yeah. No, but doesn't they're still matter. Gonna be like, oh, Smash Brothers, let's go.
Yeah.
I don't understand the hype for that game at all. Motherfuckers passing out, crying and shit. Like, what? Really? I'm not making this up, by the way. There's videos. It's been documented.
It's all about the member berries, man. You got all your favorite characters. But I'm like at this point in time, they literally have every single meaningful Japanese character in that game.
Yeah.
With some American characters sprinkled in there. You know, Banjo.
I don't get it. I can live for a thousand years. I'll never understand Nintendo and its fans.
I can't deny looking at Super Smash Brothers and being like, that's everything you could possibly hope for a game, a crossover game. Having, you know, character, like having Mario get beat up by fucking Cloud from Final Fantasy. I mean, that's fun. I can understand that sort of thing, but at the same time, it's like, but once you've set that precedence, like, what now? What, like, are we gonna stay in Memberberry Land, or do we want something, or do you want a new experience?
I don't know. I think Nintendo's just talking this stuff. Again, the fans don't want new stuff; they want the old shit. You know, that's all they care about.
The idea is, I think, Manny, the idea is that you're taking things from other media that have been experimental, and eventually, when they reach Memberberry status, that's when they go into Smash Brothers.
Oh, yeah. So we just need to wait a few more years for another thing to go in there to
get
member buried.
Exactly.
I'm waiting for Godzilla to show up in there.
Yeah, eventually.
Oh, it's only video games.
Oh, it has to be video games. All right, so
it's got to be video games. They've proven this. They're not throwing Goku thing like
that. Okay, just making sure. Okay, damn.
No, but that doesn't mean that Bandai can't make their own Shonen Jump version of that.
That's right. Yeah,
literally throw all their Shonen Jump characters in there.
The Shonen Jump.
I thought that was PlayStation All Stars.
Oh
yeah. See, that's the PlayStation's version. Everybody, you know, said everybody's got one of these. By the way,
Nickelodeon has one. You know,
Nickelodeon's got one. A dumb one. I mean, it's funny because that is the second one of those Smash Brother games that have been made for the Ninja Turtle franchise that includes the Ninja Turtles. Because when I worked on Ninja Turtles, they made a Super Smash Brothers game, and they literally got a couple of the developers who worked on Super Smash Brothers to make it for Konami.
That's crazy. Yeah, but yeah, we'll see about that. But I don't Nintendo.
Oh wait, it wasn't Konami; it was Ubisoft. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, we are done for the night. Good stuff as always. Do we have anything to plug around here?
We gotta.
Not really for me. It's just the same old thing. Just waiting for things to get announced. I mean, other than the fact that a franchise that I worked on, La Puriqueña, got like an action figure from Boss Fight Food Studios, and they're going to be having a couple of figures coming out to that, which are based off of some of the work that I did for them. So, which is pretty cool. It's not a figure of my work, but it's figures of things that I've drawn stuff for.
Nice, nice. Adam, you got anything?
Yeah, we had a bunch of reviews and stuff over at the Coalition, but when it comes to the show for I Am Negan, which is our Walking Dead podcast, we have another episode to be out, what, tomorrow? By tomorrow or Sunday morning? One of those, but it's back. Walking Dead is back. This is their final season. It's Nuke. It's myself, Rich Billy Jr., and Carlos. Oh, yes. So if you're into Walking Dead or you fell off and you just want to know what's going on without actually watching it, we do a full breakdown and review of each episode. So you just find us on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube. It's I Am Negan. We already got a bunch of new followers actually after the last episode. No surprise, because just like that, people are just going to jump in and find out what's going on and see if it's worth watching. And so far from this mid-season break, it's pretty good. A lot of action.
Final season.
This is it.
There you go.
Jump in now.
All right. As for myself, making sure I plug this now, I'm going to be doing another Bright Life session on Thursday next week on the 24th. One, the topic's going to be how to thrive and succeed as an online journalist. The first two installments were about how to get into online journalism and all that. This one is like, all right, you got your foot in the door, you got a job, you got, you know, freelance, whatever. How do you actually make it? How do you actually succeed? Daily grind and all that. How not to get exhausted? All this other stuff.
People to hate on you and try to question your jobs.
Well, by the way, that's actually going to be probably a future session. Like, how do you deal with social media? Because that's a big thing, you know. So yeah, tickets are available now. $15. I kept the price low for everybody. You know what I'm saying? It's my pinned tweet. Go to Romudeth at Romudeth on Twitter. My pinned tweet. Just click on that, and I'll be advertising it more as the days come in. I've been figured out who's going to be my special guest, but I always have like to have a special guest, so I'll try to bring somebody notable from the industry, you know. So stay tuned for that. Should be another fun session. I always enjoyed the Bright Life because it's kind of like Twitch, except I could get to bring the people in, you know, and talk to them one-on-one. So yeah, be on the lookout for that. And I believe the people, you know. No, brother,
one of us in the wreckage, brother.
Oh man. Yeah, we talked about that movie the other day, didn't we? I was like, it's like turkey dinner, you know. You started like, yeah, man, this is good. Why don't I do this more often? Then it's like, oh yeah, that's why. You know,
and then one Talia Ghul death later, and then you're like, damn, why am I watching this?
And then, you know, when you watch Dark Knight, right? It's called The Dark Knight, right? Not Dark Knight Returns.
The Dark Knight.
Because there's a comic book called The Dark Knight Returns. Dark Knight, The Dark Knight, that's like Bernie. It's like, oh, damn, this is good all the time, you know? And so I always like Christmas dinner, or supposedly Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, it's turkey, you know, but Christmas, Bernie, you know, pork. You know, the good stuff.
It's the pork leg, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's like a rump roast kind of, you know. But that chicharrón, that when it's all crisp. Oh, good. That chicharrón. Adam, is you already know? He's having convulsions over there, you know. Adam, you already know when that shit is so crisp and so good. You know, Guadalupe.
How am I getting a text from Adam while he's doing this?
Oh man!
Is it Guadalupe?
Chicharrón. Get up! Oh, that's mofongo, man. Don't get me started on that too. You know,
it's a YouTube link.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Join the Discord. Mob Hiss is always dropping the craziest rumors. I don't know where he finds this shit, but I'm glad he does because it makes for some interesting conversations. You know, you can find Throwdown on any podcast app. Throwdown Show Towards, Throwdown Show. Literally we're on everything, you know. Throwdownshow.com to listen to past episodes. And if you're on YouTube and you enjoyed the content, Make sure you hit like, subscribe, and hit the bell to be notified of when new premieres go up. They go up on Monday and Friday at 10:45 p.m. Eastern. Anyway, links are located down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vail.
Speaking of premieres, I forgot. Over at the Coalition, we now implemented star rating for all our reviews. So you will see at the bottom, 1 through 5, 1 being shit, and 5 being...
Oh, shit. Good stuff.
Oh, yes.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Right. Brett Murdoch.
Go watch Peacemaker. You're welcome.
Yes. Yes. You got renewed already, so season 2, definitely.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
All right. I gotta watch it.
And, of course, Brian Mangioma.
All right, people. Have a good one.
All right, you already know. We'll be back on Sunday. Peace.
Have a good one, Tony.